golfj.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Golf J podcast on golfj.com. I'm Jim Sinacropi alongside Rhett Taccone inside the Finger Lakes 1.TV studios in Seneca Falls, New York on Monday night, November 16th. And we have a ton to talk about tonight. Graham McDowell won in a three-way playoff on Monday at the OHL Classic. We'll update you on the race to Dubai. We'll share a useful mental tip from the pages of Zen Golf. We'll give you our fantasy golf picks for the RSM Classic in Seaside, Georgia. And we'll have a chance for you to win a Golf J golf hat if you're the first to answer this week's trivia question, like this guy here looking like he's 14 years old.
Hipster.
So you can get the Golf J hat in the 14-year-old style, or you can get it in the...
You don't like the flat brim?
The adult style with the...
This is the hipster look.
No, actually, I've had plenty of young folks on the golf course make fun of my bent brim. But I have a feeling they might make fun of your brim, too, if you show up at the links wearing that thing.
If I showed up with your hat and my son showed up with this hat, we'd be good to go.
But, That's right. So
yeah, you could win this hat or you can win that hat. We'll let you take your pick.
You pick your brim.
There you go.
Here at Golf J. Well, Rhett, another Monday finish on the PGA Tour. Graham McDowell hits an approach into the first playoff hole this morning, nearly found the cup.
Laser. And set
up a kick-in birdie for the win, which was his first win of the year and his first top 10 on the PGA Tour of 2015, which is kind of hard to believe.
It's been a while for him to be up at the top. But
he's been struggling. He said he took some more time with his family this year.
Yep. They had a baby, didn't they? I think something like that. So
yeah, a little late bloomer on the family front. Yep. Third win in McDowell's career on the PGA Tour, and I found the most interesting thing about it was he told his caddy he wanted to smash a 6-iron because he was juiced up in his own words, and his longtime caddy, Ken Conboy, talked him down and convinced him to go ahead and hit the 5-iron.
Nice and easy 5, which obviously paid off because it was about Ernie Els' yip length away from the hole. It went almost, I mean, I watched it, I thought that was going in. And I was like, it's crazy how like close it came to really going in.
Under that situation to hit that type of shot. And we talk about the caddies on the show. We love the caddies. And, you know, the caddy, he probably wouldn't have won if the caddy didn't have the... And it takes a lot of guts if you're a caddy when your pro is convinced he wants to hit something for you to call him back.
Yeah, call him
I'll
off.
Tell a quick story. I told it before, but... I used to caddy on the Central New York PGA Tour for our club pro.
Right.
And I can't even remember what tournament it was, but he was off to a pretty good start. And we step up to the fifth hole. He's maybe 1 under par, my pro. And it's a par 3, 210, 215.
Right.
Pin in the back, big drop off in the back, bunch of pine trees. And he wanted to hit a 5-iron, and I said, no, I think it's a 4, you know. And I caddied for this guy a lot, and I really did think it was a 4, and I called him off. I said, hit the 4. And he's like, really? I'm like, yeah, solid 4, just hit it. And he hits the 4, it lands just short of the pin and bounds over the green. He makes a double or triple bogey and didn't talk to me the rest of the day.
So you talked him the wrong way. He wanted to hit the 5, and... You wanted him to hit the 4 a little longer, same way here, but this worked out for Graham McDowell for sure. He might have hit that dead left if he tried to smash a 6, you know? I mean, he could have been over where Knoxville is.
Or if he did try to smash it and hit it good, it may have been short because he said he hit the 5-iron good. So, of course, my pro probably didn't remember all the dozens of times I gave him good advice, just that one. And I still remember it. So it takes for a caddy in that situation, if he makes the wrong call... he's got to live with it for a long time.
No question. It's one of the toughest jobs there is. If it's going good, it's going great. If it's going not so good, it's awful. But I wonder if he got a little extra cash for that. You know, that little
bonus.
A little bonus. $1.8 million that McDowell, or $1.08 million McDowell won. I mean, 10% usually, but maybe he got 12% this week for that nice little tip.
Well, McDowell held off Russell Knox, who won last week, and Jason Bone, who's coming second in every event he's ever played in, it seems like. in the playoff. The interesting thing, too, about McDowell was on the first hole this week in Mexico, he struggled. He started out with a double bogey round one, bogey second round, double bogey third round. Finally parted in the fourth, but he wins the tournament and he's five over on that first hole.
Could have won this without a playoff and all that drama if he won that first hole. That was like Tiger at the 08 U.S. Open. Remember how bad he played the first hole in every round of that tournament? Same type of deal.
And it just goes to show you, when you're playing your own round of golf and you double the first hole and you're like, oh, it's going to be a bad day. You never know. And some of my best rounds has started with a bogey on the first hole.
Yeah,
and
it happens.
It happens.
You gotta have a short memory. I was telling my son yesterday we're playing, and he's getting upset. He hits a couple bad shots here and there. I said, short memory. Focus on the next shot. Don't get so mad at yourself.
He's nine.
I know. He's on it, though, man. He wants to hit the shot perfect every time. God bless him. He's going to have a long career, or long day of it if he thinks that's going to happen. Anyways.
So Russell Knox, just a playoff away from winning back-to-back tournaments. And just to tell you how good he's playing, nobody's won back-to-back tournaments since Billy Horschel did it to close out the 13-14 season at the FedEx Cup.
Yeah.
Jason Bone, since his 2010 win at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans, has collected seven runner-up finishes. And over the first four starts of the 2015-16 season, Bone has three top three finishes.
He must like the bronze medal.
Well, either way, he's a solid pick for your fantasy squad.
Good pick in fantasy, no question.
And we'll get to that in a little bit next week at the RSM Classic in Seaside, Georgia. We'll have your fantasy picks coming up shortly. But in Europe, it's coming down to the championship of the European Tour. The race to Dubai is concluding.
Europe or Asia or Dubai or Middle East? Where are we?
Yeah.
It's the race to Dubai on the European Tour.
The championship of the European Tour is in Dubai.
Yes.
Which makes a lot of sense.
They're losing full-time members by the day.
Including Graham McDowell.
Including Graham McDowell, who said that he's going where the money is and the best chance for him to earn. And he knows where that is. That's on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, and you wonder how relevant the European Tour is anymore. They do have some great events. I don't like how their season ends with all these tournaments away from Europe, especially Dubai. You know, right. I like the British Masters is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you know, you're looking at there six guys left with a chance to win?
Yeah.
And they're big-time names. McIlroy, Willett, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, Oosthuizen, and Brandon Grace. I mean, those guys, that would be a great leaderboard at any golf's majors.
Hopefully they're all there in the top 10 this weekend. I mean, it's going to be a great tournament to watch. I'll definitely be tuning in because there is some star power there. And the European Tour is a great tour. It's just, you know, their best players now are leaving and they're coming to the PGA Tour. And I used to watch a lot of the European Tour, but I don't watch anywhere near as much until this time of year, really, when they do all play it, because they've got to catch up on points, it seems like. You know, and they're in Asia, and there's some tournaments that don't conflict with any major U.S. tournaments. So it's a good time of year to watch the European Tour.
And we're usually on the golf course when those European Tour final rounds are happening on the weekend mornings.
Yeah, but now they're in Asia.
And we're not necessarily playing golf much anymore in November, even though up here in upstate New York, boy, it's heading in the 60s next couple days. We're going to be back out there still.
Absolutely.
For some November golf.
But yeah, Rory's got, he can either win or stay ahead of Willett in the top 45. And Willett has the same scenario for his chance to win it. Justin Rose needs a top three, I think, and has to have Rory and Willett be no better than eighth, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Shane Lowry, same thing, top three. But and then McIlroy and Willett have to be 12th or worse. So basically they all have the same scenarios in the top six guys. So it'll be interesting to see. It's really McIlroy's or Willett's to lose.
But other than Willett and Lowry, most of these guys are playing a lot of their events in America anyway.
Yep.
So
Justin Rose is a full-time guy. Rory McIlroy is a full-time guy.
Just playing just enough to retain that European status qualify.
Well, now after they announced last week or a week or so ago, they're relaxing those requirements too. Now it's going to be down to six. So you really don't have to play much of anything because the four majors count. So there's already anybody that's qualified on the European Tour to be in all those majors. There's four of them right there. The World Golf Championships count. So they really don't even have to travel to Europe to be eligible for the race to Dubai. So it's kind of weird that, you know, they don't have to play on their home turf, so to speak, to even contend for this. And Rory, what he won three tournaments, so to speak, based on the ones he won.
And you're going to see him also relax in the Ryder Cup qualification.
They have to.
Because,
can't lose a Graham McDowell or a Rory McIlroy to the requirements of the Euro Tour to play in the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and almost I really think with the Ryder Cup, it should just be where you were born.
Right.
Forget about
what
tour you're a member of. If you're a natural-born American,
playing for the United
States. If
you're
born in Europe in one of the European countries, then...
Yep. And then the captains can figure it out, and there's definitely ways to figure that out. That's country stuff. It's not really necessarily what tour you're on. So, but I guess that's for another story.
So I don't know if you saw this, but the Writers Guild of America ranked the 101 funniest screenplays of all time, and they ranked Caddyshack 25th. Which at first you're like, all right, Caddyshack,
ridiculous.
It's pretty funny, 25th. But then you know, ahead of Caddyshack, number one was Annie Hall, a Woody Allen movie that you like don't even laugh in.
No, Woody Allen.
Then Tootsie, Bridesmaid, A Fish Called Wanda, When Harry Met Sally. These are all movies that are ahead of Caddyshack.
It's one of the most quoted movies of all time. It's one of the funniest of between that and Animal House. Our generation, there isn't anything funnier, and they go across all kinds of generations. If you were to show somebody that was 16, 18 years old Caddyshack, they would laugh just like we laughed way back then, and like we laugh at it now. I mean, it's just a travesty, honestly, that the Writers Guild would go that low, and I'm boycotting them for good now.
Yeah, when I go comedies, Caddyshack number one. Top three movies maybe of all time. I like Caddyshack. I like It's a Wonderful Life, that Frank Capra holiday classic. That's
good,
up there.
Baby.
And maybe number three, geez, tough to leave Star Wars out of there.
Star Wars is out there, but I mean, come on. Caddyshack,
Glory,
comedy.
I like Glory, like Civil War. But Caddyshack 25th, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's just a bad choice by them.
Invalidates the whole list. So it's time for GolfJ.com trivia. Tweet your answer to @TheGolfJ. First person to answer right wins a GolfJ hat. Last year it was Sloth_Fairy.
Sloth_Fairy.
And this week it could be you.
And you could have a flat brim or a curved brim.
Yeah, we'll reach out to you to the winner when they win. So the question this week. Last year, both Jason Day and Jordan Spieth ended with 5 wins. In 2014, Rory McIlroy led the way with 3 wins and was tied with another player who also had 3 wins. And all you have to do is name that player.
Yeah. He's a President's Cup guy.
Tweet, they're giving him clues, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, hey, it was a little, you know, Sloth Fairy. He got it, but it wasn't like it was a gimme last week. So, you know, sometimes these guys need a few clues. That's all, though. I'm just giving them a little bit.
So tweet us @TheGolfJ, and we'll give you the answer at the end of the show. Which brings us next to the classic golf tips, the greatest golf tips of all time. And this week we're going back into the pages of Zen Golf by Dr. Joseph Parent, my favorite golf book.
Yep.
And what do we have here?
We're going to talk about emptying your cup. And basically what he's talking about there is, you know, going into whether you're getting a lesson or you're taking some tips from a pro or practice sessions, just basically clearing your mind of any preconceived thoughts you might have had about your swing, things that you do regularly that may be a little different than what you're being taught. You know, just kind of clear all that stuff out and basically give the new stuff that you're learning from the pro or whoever you're getting some instruction from, give that a chance, you know, and let it sink in a little bit and see how it works for you. You know, I'll read a little bit here directly, but basically what we've said is what he's talking about. Many golfers have read volumes about the golf swing. They come to a lesson with so many ideas about their swing that they can't hear anything that the pro has to say. They come to a lesson with a full cup. The empty cup approach doesn't mean giving up your intelligence and following blindly. The point is to receive everything that's taught in an open way, withholding judgment until you've tried it for a while. So, saying just to kind of clear your mind and be ready for whatever is being taught to you.
Like most tips in Zen golf, it sounds simple,
right.
But when you actually try to put it in practice, it takes some effort.
Yeah,
I've read Zen golf 8 times at least. I used to read it every spring, and he'll tell you in that book. Dr. Joseph Parent will tell you that this stuff takes practice just like the physical swing.
Absolutely.
And
he's saying, you know, when you have so many different swing thoughts, things of that nature, that stuff over and over again becomes a little stale, and you've got to open up to new thoughts and new ideas and basically give those a try. And a lot of times something new and fresh, something outside the box will work for you if you give it a chance.
Yeah, and what better time of year to give something like that a chance? Try something different here. We got, at least up here in the northern half of the U.S., we got a few months off for winter.
We're going to be hitting into the nets pretty soon.
You know,
indoors.
So let's take it to the next topic, which NB Park wins the Loreno Cho Invitational. And, you know, she's just dominant right now on the LPGA Tour. But is anybody like, paying attention? Does anybody care about November on the LPGA Tour?
It's tough for them because I think they're going up against two, not so much the FedEx Cup, but, you know, you had the President's Cup, and next year you'll have the Ryder Cup, and then you have the Race to Dubai, and you have all these other things going on. While they're not major events, they're still, in the consciousness of everybody. And they kind of get pushed to the side. It's almost like they need to rethink their timing on when their championship ends to kind of go off of, off course or off the beaten path, so to speak, and come to a conclusion when they're the only thing going on. You know what I mean? Maybe in a month or so. Maybe they even extend it into the December months when there's really nothing going on other than the silly season, and that they can get a little bit more pub because, you know, last week, be honest with you, two tournaments in Mexico – they're getting overshadowed by the PGA Tour and Mayakoba.
Yeah, if they're in Mexico and the PGA Tour isn't there, at least you're getting a lot of coverage locally, you know, in Mexico.
Right.
But, I don't know. It's the Solheim Cup's a high-profile LPGA event.
Yeah.
Even the majors, you know, other than the U.S. Women's Open, you know, it's not what it used to be.
Even the Solheim Cup, the timing of it is right before it was right during the FedEx Cup and right before the President's
Cup. Right.
As great as that tournament was this year, I watched every round of it and all the controversy that surrounded it. It was still kind of lost after a few days. It lost its momentum right away, and you would think that they would try and alternate with the big men's tournaments so they don't go head-to-head and get a little more pub. They've got a lot of great players, a lot of great American players coming up. You know, you see us back on the tops of the leaderboards more and more every week. But you just hope they, you know, can kind of find a niche and get some momentum and really build on that. But they have their championship this weekend as well, but I don't know how much, you know, coverage that's going to get when you have the Race to Dubai and, you know, other PGA tournaments.
And Thanksgiving coming up.
Thanksgiving, lots of stuff coming up, exactly.
Fantasy Golf Primer for the RSM Classic. Sea Island, Georgia?
Sea Island, Georgia. Seaside Course at Sea Island,
right,
Georgia.
Right, gotcha. Yeah. Defending champ Robert Streb, past winners Chris Kirk won it in 2014, Tommy Gainey 2012, Ben Grain in 2011, Heathcliff Slocum in 2010. And let's start with our winners, and I'm going to go ahead first. I'm picking the Captain Chris Kirk.
There you go.
He won in 2014, as I just mentioned, and he finished tied for fourth last week in Mexico. Yep. He's playing good. He's a horse for a course. Oh, wait, no. I think he won
in 13.
Yeah, he won 13, finished fourth in 2015.
Correct.
So there you go.
Correct.
And
one of my guys won it last year.
He also took a lot of time off this summer with injury, so he's a little more fresh than these guys that have just been grinding away.
Fresh or rusty, we'll have to see.
Well, I wouldn't say rusty with a T4 last year. Yeah, he's a horse for a course. Chris
You're
Kirk.
Going with him.
Chris Kirk.
Hey, that's I'm going
to
go
Captain Chris Kirk.
There you go. I'm going to go with Kevin Kisner. He was T2 at HSBC 2 weeks ago. He's playing well. He's been, at the tops of the leaderboard, making cuts all over the place. So hopefully he's taking the place of Brant Snedeker in my mind with making a lot of cuts, and hopefully he doesn't let me down this week like my pick from last week did.
Well, Kisner's due to win. We're not talking too much about last week. Our winter picks did not do too good. We did have one guy top 10, and we had
8 out of 12
make
cuts.
The cut, which is that's not
a good percentage, but it's not great.
Not bad.
These tournaments are tough. There's not a lot of chalk in these tournaments to go off of, so, you know, anything can happen, as we saw the last few weeks before this week, five straight first-time winners. So but I'm going to go with Kevin Kisner.
All right, that's not a bad pick. Let's go now with some strong plays. Again, with the Monday finish, DraftKings a little late with the numbers, so we don't have numbers to put with these guys in terms of their DraftKings salary. And hey, we're up here in New York State, so we might get we could get arrested at any time for even talking about this.
Yeah, we shouldn't
even
mention this anymore. I mean, after last week, you know, we give our picks and talk DraftKings up, and the next day, Attorney General New York starts throwing out some crazy nonsense. But anyways, did I just say that out loud? So let's go with our strong plays for whoever is playing fantasy, wherever you're playing fantasy.
Yeah, why don't you run down your list first?
Okay. I'm going to go with Patton Kizzire for one of my strong picks. He's had two top fives and made 3 out of 3 cuts. He was right there with Smiley Kaufman a few weeks back, and I just like the way he's playing. He's one of those guys that's a first-timer in the making. He's got to get a win soon, so I'm going to go with Patton Kizzire. I'm going to go also with Robert Streb. He won in the playoff last year. He's 2 out of 2 for made cuts in 16, and he's, you know, the year he had in 15, he's a solid bet for any tournament in 16. Charles Howell III playing very well. He's had 3 top 20s out of the 2016 season, 1 top 10, and he's made all 4 of his cuts. So Charles is getting his game into form, and I like the way he's playing, and he's going to be down in his home state there. Hard not to pick Graham McDowell. He won this week, obviously, as we saw today. He's committed to the PGA Tour full-time, and he's ready to have a big 2016. He's going to start it off real well at the beginning of the year. What about you?
Solid picks. Now, if you were to take my team and when the salaries come out of DraftKings, I think you're going to end up with like $4,000 left to play with. But I don't care. I'm picking them.
When I start changing my picks, when I have extra money.
And I think that's a mistake it's so arbitrary. So you can have a DraftKings team that has $700 left out there. Well, you don't need to.
How many times in the last 5 weeks have the top guys come through? Not many.
So this week I got Brendan DeJong, finished second last year. He did tie for 58th. The OHL, he kind of struggled, but the weather was so bad. He's been playing pretty good, but the weather was so bad in Mexico.
Yeah, that was a crapshoot this week. It was on and off. But he's a great pick. I like that pick.
Scott Brown, top 5 last week at the OHL. Not a name that really inspires too much confidence, but keep an eye on Scott Brown this week. He's playing well. Jason Kokrak tied for 17th last week, but has been a consistent performer recently. And then Boo Weekly got a top 10 at the OHL, and he hates
the wraparound, but he's playing in it because he likes the money.
So. Yep. And then we got our sleepers pick. My sleeper pick is Davis Love the 4th.
You did it. You went with it. I almost went.
How
with,
can you not?
I hear you. I almost went with Davis Love the 3rd because he's playing well. And he's at his home course, basically. But Davis Love the 4th. I like it.
Drew Love is his name. Yep. And it's his first PGA Tour start.
Yep.
I don't know how good I feel about that sleeper pick, but I just had to do it. Davis Love the 4th is truly a new era.
It's a home course for both of them, so you can't go wrong there. I'm going to go with Arnie's grandson, Sam Saunders. He was T29 last week. He had 3 rounds in the 60s at Mayakoba, and he's been playing pretty good. I like him a lot, and I think he's one to be looked at for the coming year.
I like your pick better than my Davis Love the 4th pick.
A little bit more history with that one, at least in the last few weeks.
So there you have it. Good luck in your fantasy games this week. And that brings us to our answer to our trivia question. Last year, Jason Day and Jordan Spieth ended with 5 wins. And in 2014, Rory McIlroy led the tour with 3 wins and was tied with 1 other player, and that player was?
Jimmy Walker, President's Cup player.
And former star of Good Times.
Exactly.
So we'll check the tweets. And
we might have dated ourselves on that one.
Yeah, whoever hit us up first with the Jimmy Walker answer gets a Golf J hat, a real nice Golf J hat.
Absolutely.
New era 3930 hat.
Or 5950, either way. Snapback. You have the snapback flat brim, or you could have the fitted curved brim, whatever you want to do.
And just let us know if you answered Jimmy Walker. So that about does it here on the GolfJ.com podcast for a little while. We're taking our break till January 4th. We come back the week before, the Monday before the Hyundai Tournament of Champions in Kapalua. I mean, really, the rest of the way out, there's no PGA Tour tournament the week of Thanksgiving. Then they come back with one more decent event. With a decent purse.
Yeah.
And then you got the Franklin Templeton shootout.
Yeah.
And then it's time for Christmas. And then finally, for real, that the tour kicks off again in Hawaii.
Yeah, so. Hawaii, Kapalua, that's the place to be. And that's when all the winners come out. And great tournament, good start to the season. So we'll jump back in after the holidays.
Yeah, and we're going to want you still checking out golfj.com. The update schedule there is not going to change.
Nope.
And we also have some awesome fitness videos coming down the pike.
Some GolfJ fitness, golf fitness videos to take a look at. And a lot of different stuff we'll keep adding to the experience at golfj.com.
So you can connect with us online at
Twitter
at the Golf J.
Absolutely.
And then we are also on Instagram at the_GolfJ. And you can search for Golf J on Facebook.
Like us.
And like us there. And that way when we do come back with the podcast, we'll be right in your feed. And you're also going to get a lot of golf content daily filtered your way on
GolfJ.com.
Yeah, on GolfJ.com and all those outlets. So all our episodes in the best of the world wide world of golf on the web can be found at GolfJ.com. And we will be back on January 4th at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Until then, hit them long, not often.
Go low. GolfJ.com.